from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
It is Fresh Fridays. Happy Friday to all of you. It's the G and Ursula Show. Ursula is away, but don't you worry. Aaron Mason, my former co-host on Cairo Nights, joins us. Good morning, Mace.
Good morning, G. I want you to, for this last hour here, I really kicked the chair back. You know, I've lowered the mic. I'm trying to get cool and reclined and all that because I know we're going to end up fighting.
Aaron's rolling point this hour. Low rider over there.
Yeah,
right
that's
now.
Right. Real slick, real cool like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, having you on, Mace, we sometimes tend to and are guilty of. We get a little deep on these topics.
Yeah. I mean, we're friends. Like, you're listening to two friends talk to each other.
Know, right. We get deep, man.
Yeah.
We get deep. Now, and then when you add in a little cranky producer of ours.
I would say contrarian. You should see his face. He just made a very cranky face. But he is contrarian.
Hey, Chef is the little brother I promise you that I've never had. All right, man. It is time for, of course, a good time we call Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Johnny Tsunami.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
Let's talk a little bit about ransomware and responsibility. This is a way of life that we are going to have to deal with. More and more companies are dealing with ransomware attacks, individuals, and even hospitals. The question that Slate brings up is, who's to blame? Who's to blame? And so here's the case. Tayrani Kidd is suing the Spring Hill Medical Center in Alabama, where she gave birth to her daughter in July 2019. Now, this happened while the internal computer network was down at the hospital because of a ransomware attack, and her daughter was born with the umbilical cord wrapped around her neck. It caused severe brain damage. She ended up dying 9 months later, and she is suing the hospital. Now, here's where the ransomware attack comes in. There was a heart rate monitor in the room that registered signs of, okay, is the baby doing okay? But because the internal network was down, those signals were never being sent to the nurse's station. Mm-hmm. And the doctor later said, yeah, you know, if we had those signals, we would have done an emergency cesarean earlier.
Right.
So the question here is, in this case, gee, does the hospital bear responsibility for a ransomware attack?
Yes, it does. And here's why. When you have a loved one that is in the care of a hospital and you, the hospital, calls the family and says, hey, sorry, something happened. Wasn't our fault. There was a ransomware attack. Is the family going to say, okay, hospital, you know what? We understand these things happen. No, we don't care. It's on you, hospital. Is all these attacks, are these going to be continuing to happen? Absolutely. But Mace, this on the hospital, fam. Period.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna step to the side just for a second because I don't think the question is the hospital responsible. We know who's responsible, and it's the malware. People, it's the scammers or hackers or whatever you want to call them. They send out this stuff, you click on something you shouldn't, and then now you have to pay them X amount of money for them to unlock your computer, or all that is gone for forever. So should the hospital have had safeguards? Yes. Is this the type of thing that happens all the time and you cannot prevent? Yes, it's also that too. So is it the hospital's responsibility? Yes, the bottom line stops with them, but we are encountering a new type of, I don't know, crime, whatever you want to call it, that we are not prepared for. Our system of, like, malpractice, like, this would probably fall under, I guess, malpractice is what happens when the hospital does something wrong and injures or kills someone, and it's their fault. Like, yeah, this is kind of that, but even our definitions are antiquated. Now we've got this new thing that's causing these problems, and yeah, I just, hands up. What are you going to do?
I'm kind of in the middle on this because, I mean, generally you don't hold, you know, a business or an organization responsible due to the malintent or actions of an outside actor, right?
Gun
like
stores.
You don't sue a school because someone came in and shot up the school. Mm-hmm. Now, if the kid was, you know, attending the school and said he was going to do it repeatedly, it was never addressed. Yes. I think the difference in this circumstance and why I think the hospital probably could face some liability is because you can't plan for exigent circumstances. You can't plan necessarily for a ransomware attack, but you can plan on how you respond to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have the safeguards in place? Okay, yes. Then let's look at the case from there. You know that your internal computer system is down. You know that the hospital, the heart monitor is not communicating to the nurse's
station. Station someone.
So are you going to send someone to go around and check on that and check all the patients? And by the way, after, you know, having a child about 5 months ago, I can tell you that those heart rate monitors, they fall off all of the time. I mean, it's basically a rubber strap that they go around the belly with, right? And you move around, you have contractions, it moves, and it sends out false signals all the time. So if you have no backup system in place for when a ransomware attack occurs, then yeah, I think that is on you. And I think one of the stickiest questions, though, is how do the courts view whether or not the organization pays, right? Because if your hospital is being held ransom and you have lives at stake and they're saying, we want $1 million, you know what? Maybe you should just pony up and pay that $1 million. And I know it's hard to do, but there are literally lives on the line, and it was your own fault that your systems were so vulnerable to human error or someone clicking an email that this happened.
I want to get a little random here, which always makes the show fun, at least for me. It does. These attacks that we are talking about, right? Yeah. Like, I hope people understand that these attacks will be coming to us personally, right?
Oh, it happens to my grandfather all the time. My mom was just tired. My 89-year-old grandfather clicks on everything that comes to him.
She's
constantly having to take his laptop in to get wiped.
So here's a question for you and those listening right now. You can participate. And by the way, you better be prepared to have this conversation so it's not as random as you might think. You wake up one morning. And you wake up one morning, you go to grab your cell phone or your laptop, and there's a message to you that says, hey, we need $500. $500 or we're going to release every single thing, all of your information out to the public, all of your pictures, all of your stuff. And oh, by the way, if you call the police, we're going to go ahead and just do it then. My question to you and to the listeners right now, would you pay it?
Well, how much?
$500.
Yeah, probably.
Chef?
1,000%. If you've ever lost a phone or you've ever had a hard drive crash that was not backed up, and you're like, oh my gosh, I have 2 years worth of my photos and information. Like, that's all the documentation of my life. I don't care. You can publish all my receipts. No one's going to care about seeing 1,000 burst photos of babies. but I want those. So I would definitely pay it.
Yeah.
This is the stuff that, and we don't talk about this in the news enough. Until it really hits these big companies. And then usually what happens is these companies don't really talk about it. They actually pay the ransomware, $30,000, $50,000, because it's cheaper. Some of this stuff is hitting our schools. It's hitting big corporations, big companies.
Yeah, man.
And they'll just go ahead and pay it. And just to save the time, because let's be real, you call the police, make a report, investigate. It's going to take way too long for you guys to investigate. Let me go ahead and just pay this money. So I guess what I'm saying is it's a scary world to think about going forward.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I shouldn't joke about the IT training that I've been ignoring for about 2 months now.
Oh, you haven't done that? You haven't done the little quiz?
Yeah.
The ransomware quiz?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Fun times.
World we live in. All right. For this next story, we go down to California. Mentioned this potential law that was standing on California Governor Gavin Newsom's desk. It has been signed. Stealthing is now illegal in California. You can be pursued in civil court. This is the practice of secretly removing a prophylactic during intimacy time. Trying to put that in a gentle way for our listeners with kids in the cars. Let's come back to this. Mm. Now that it's law, what do you think?
Love it. Absolutely love it, right? Like, to do something like that, I think it should be a felony. What can happen from that? Disease, unwanted pregnancy, right? To me, that is like almost on the equivalent of some other bad things that go on. And this is a very serious thing, and it should have been. This is taking too long for it to become a crime. And, oh, by the way, shout out to Chef, the way you presented that, just in case there are kids in the car.
It's very, very kid-friendly. Yeah. Start with a footnote. I love how Gavin Newsom has just been, like, on the path since the recall didn't
yes,
work.
Yes,
he's been signing everything left and right.
Yes, he has.
It's been pretty mm-hmm. funny to watch. Now, look, mm-hmm. This is difficult for me because I feel a certain way and don't know how to articulate it, which I'm in a great position right now on a microphone on the radio to not be able to articulate it. But it okay. So the thing is terrible, right? This is an awful thing to do to a person, and you're a monster if you do it. I don't think that this is a good thing to remove a prophylactic and not tell anyone, right? Deceitful, awful, and there are many consequences that can come from it. But I'm also of the mind that, look, we can't legislate everything. We can't legislate being a dirtbag. I'm not even like helmet laws. I'm not an enormous. If you're a grown adult and you don't and you want to be a dumb idiot and get on a motorcycle and not wear a helmet, that's on you, pal. You know, that's I would never do that myself. But to make that a law, I don't know. I'm sort of in between on this kind of stuff. So this is where I'm having difficulty articulating. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah,
do you know what
yeah.
I'm where I'm coming from?
Yeah, especially because it's so hard to litigate, right? So this would come up
in
civil court. Yeah, exactly. I guess I'm in favor of the law. What I'm not in favor of is the slippery slope argument that like all of a sudden we're going to need to have to write contracts before having relations with anyone else, because that's usually the direction this argument goes. And yeah. I remember the first time this came up, the concept of this is when Julian Assange was first arrested, and he was accused of doing this in Sweden. It was like, what? That makes no sense. How is that a crime? But if you look at the consequences of it for an individual mm-hmm. in what was until that point a consensual encounter, mm-hmm. I think it does make sense. But the reason why this can only be pursued in civil court is because there's virtually no prosecutor in the world that would take this on. And the burden of proof is going to be so high on the claimant. It's going to be very difficult, except in the most extreme circumstances.
Yeah.
Oh, Aaron, tailor made for you. from the business pages of Inc.com, science reveals how Elon Musk can work 120 hours per week.
He's a robot.
But everyone can have this one simple thing for free. Here's the key, everybody. No productivity tools required. All you need is to have fun. And psychology proves it.
Oh, my God.
Aaron, there's this adage that if you're having fun, it's not work. Is that true?
No, it's still work. You're just lucky enough to have fun doing it. Not everybody gets to enjoy what they do for a living. That's not how the world works. Now, some people are really good at finding joy in, you know, they see the best in everything. They're optimists. They can spin straw into gold, right? But that's a magic power that some people have that not everybody does. And I'm sick of this idea that we hold the standard for what kind of effort you should put in at work, how many hours, commitment, attitude, all of this stuff. That bar is so high. We Elon Musk, he's an outlier among outliers. He should be nowhere near where you set the bar for productivity. I mean, that's all this guy does. And what he's getting out of that is tremendous, immense wealth, notoriety, power, all of these things. People who are trying to, you know, get clean buildings or dig ditches or pour concrete, like you just can't have that much fun. Like it's just work, man. And you're getting a paycheck out of it, but that's about it. I think this is completely insane and patronizing and garbage.
So I just want to be crystal clear in something that I personally have learned over the years, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I used to clean cars in car detail, and I'd be like, and I would be listening to talk radio,
mm-hmm.
I used to say things like, wow. I can't believe these people actually get paid to talk on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's not even a job, I would say.
Right.
That's not even work.
Right.
That has to be the easiest job in the world.
And then?
And then it became a job.
Right.
And here's what I've learned. Every job is a job.
Yes, sir.
I don't care what you do. It does not matter what you do. It's a job. You ask NFL football players. You ask NBA basketball players. Yeah. It's still a job.
Yep.
No matter what it is that you do. Now, I love what I do. No doubt about it. Do I want to do this for 120 hours a week?
No.
Do I want to do it? No.
No. No. The system will wring blood out of you if it could.
But
it wants you to.
But here's what's interesting, though. When the microphone's not on, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to know what I'm talking about off the air? Exactly what I'm talking about on
the air. I was just going to say a mouthful of water. I was going to say the same exact stuff.
Chef, what you got? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I talk about the same thing.
I don't know, man. I do actually kind of agree to a certain extent that if you're having fun, it's not work. Because, you know, working with you and Ursula G and Aaron working with you and Dre's, of course, like,
yeah.
I've never had more fun in my job at work.
It is fun.
That being said, every single job in the world has things that people hate about it.
Mm-hmm.
It does not matter if you have the coolest job in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There will be some boring minutiae that you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a manager who drives you insane. There will be some process or task that you are required to do that you would rather cut off your left arm than have to do for the next 20 years.
Yep.
But it is just a part of the job.
Yep.
And I think it really matters more about whether your work matches your values, right? Do you see yourself accomplishing what you want with your work? Am I a janitor, right? I can look at this as, gosh, this is terrible. I have to clean floors and bathrooms, and I hate my life, and I hate my job. Or you can say, you know what? I am helping people.
Yes.
Because I make it possible for people to have a clean environment
yes.
to work in. I make it possible for these kids to go to school and for them to have a building that they're proud to be in.
Yes.
And I don't care if they mess up the bathroom. This is what I do and I'm proud of it. And I think it has more to do with your interpretation of your work and whether you feel like you're being fairly treated within it than how much you enjoy the individual aspects of it.
Mm. Well said. Couldn't agree more.
Chef, you're a 5'6 man, and I feel like you just dunked a basketball.
Man, I've been waiting to dunk my whole life. I was showing Matthew Michael Jordan videos the other day. He's like, Daddy, can you dunk? Nah.
Have you ever touched the net?
Yeah, you know those little flimsy plastic ones that are about 4'6"?
Like in the pool?
Mm-hmm. All right, so it's Friday. Coming up next, you ever dream about just saying, you know what, I'm done. I don't want to do what I'm doing anymore. What would you do? I don't want to know. What would you do if you quit your job today and like, you know what, I'm out of here. I'm going to do something different. Well, Mason and I are going to do something different. I'm going to guess what he would do. He's going to guess what I would do. It's G and Ursula with Mace. The G and Ursula Show. Mace fills in for Ursula this hour of the show, brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Pest Control. Mace, what are we talking about, man?
We're going to talk about cookies.
I like, man, I don't need any more cookies.
Well, lucky for you, yeah. it's cookies as a catalyst toward another conversation. There's this fella, his name's Michael Pickney. And he is, a smart cookie. How about that? See what I did?
Yeah.
Went to Harvard and NYU, and in the 80s worked for IBM, and moved over to Microsoft in the 90s and was involved in all this. Very successful man, positions of power, really, really did the corporate career thing right. But he was always a bit of a cookie monster. He always loved cookies and decided, you know, he had carpal tunnel. He wasn't sleeping at night. Like, he was just having a miserable time. He's like, maybe it's time to move on and take this passion that I have for cookies that he's been doing most of his life, and start a business. And sure enough, he did. It slammed. Like, they're in a couple local farmers markets in Seattle, U District, West Seattle, and Ballard. You can also get them online. And there's like lines for this stuff. Like, it's a big success, right? He has plans for the future, and he's infinitely happier now than he was in tech. So it's Friday. We're kicking it. Mm-hmm. Daydreaming a little. I know we're working, but we're daydreaming a little bit.
Right.
Would you ever throw it all away and try something? Is there something that you would want to do that you would give up what you do now to do? And let's get fun with it, because I can tell you I have an answer. Mm-hmm. Like a dream passion job scenario.
Yeah.
And I think I got something that would be good for you.
Okay.
So what do you think?
I'm gonna go. Okay. Wait. What would I do? Or yeah. What would I do if I were to stop it all?
Yeah. What do you think? Or do you want it to? I'll tell you what I think, and tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay. Go ahead.
I hope this doesn't sound like a cop out. This is different from what I think you should do. What I think would be a good job for you. But I think you're happy doing the stuff you do. Now, I think from what I understand, I mean, and this is a huge compliment, man. You've come a long way. You've put a lot of work into this, a lot of sweat equity, you know, and the stuff you do with your auctions and out there in the public and hosting stuff and meeting people. I don't know necessarily that it'd be for the exact same companies or look exactly the same, but I bet you like what you're doing.
It's you're 1,000% correct.
Come on.
And over the last year, and it's interesting, right? Because if you want a job, then be really happy at what you're doing, and then people will see how happy you are.
Yes.
And then they will try to come and get you.
It's contagious.
Over the last year, I've had some job offers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've had some job offers that would move me out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, you know, I could move out of town because technically my kids are older and,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're mm-hmm. doing their thing and I'm not tied here really. And that's what makes me love my job more, because I could not leave here for even more money. I am so tied and locked down to this city, mm-hmm. this town, for its ups and for its downs and for its greatness and for its flaws. You're exactly right, guys. This is exactly what I want to do. This right here. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want mm-hmm. don't you want to be bigger? No, there's nothing bigger. This is it for me. I love what I do. Now, I want to guess what I think you'd be good at.
Okay.
You'd be really good at running like a boys and girls club.
Oh, interesting.
You know, I could see you being the head and being the CEO and of this boys and girls club with
wow.
there's mentorships and people coming in. And here's why I say that. Because Mace, you and I have had a lot of conversations, and you always talk about how you were raised mm-hmm. and how some of the racism that you face and being part of the church, and you're so well-rounded that you could really help some of these youth, these teenagers up and coming. You could really help them with understanding this complex way of thinking in this complex world.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Isn't it neat to hear how other people see you?
Yes.
Isn't that cool?
Yep.
That's fascinating. Can I tell you what my answer was for me?
What?
Cartoon voices?
What?
Hit me with your best shot, Mace.
Dude, that's my...
You're auditioning right now.
Like, the best job in the world would be to, like, go into a booth and have, like, a cartoon character drawn up and try to come up with a voice for it and, like, do that all day. That would be playing fun all day. And I think union rules, you can only do it for 4 hours a day, but you get paid for eight. So, holla at your boy.
That's pretty good, man.
Right?
I think
right?
I told you a couple months back, there's only been one Weird Al, and that was a generation ago. There needs to be a new Weird Al. If you've ever heard Aaron's parodies, they're amazing.
Weirder.
You should be Weird Al.
and as far as Chef, I know this sounds crazy, but Chef should be either a history teacher or a political science teacher, something in that.
Mm.
Chef, I could totally see you being a teacher or a professor.
Hmm.
Chef's really good at boiling, at distilling things down.
Yes, he
that's
is.
That's a skill you have. You're very good at concisely expressing a point that maybe hasn't been covered. Like the role you fill here, you're very good at. So that translating into another industry could
you
be
could be a professional flatterer, Aaron NG.
Oh, come on. Hey, 50 an hour. 50 an hour.
I know we've been having this topic, but Mark in Lake Stevens makes a great point. He texted and he says, "G, you forgot about the honor of working with Ursula." And you know what?
For sure.
I got to bring that up. Ursula's not here. And I got to tell you,
that woman's incredible.
I can't even explain how much better that I am. And I'll let him speak for himself, that I am on radio because of Ursula. Because I'm going to tell you, and this is probably the hardest thing that probably bothers me the most when people text in and says, "You guys are lying," or "You guys didn't do your research on this." You don't know what it's like to work with Ursula.
Yeah.
Ursula, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Ursula will make me and Chef, like, we will send a simple text and she'll say sources.
Right.
You think I'm
right.
joking?
Right.
Chef, am right. I lying?
Yeah, I'm like, source, me.
She
knows not to trust me.
She is literally and metaphorically a great mom. You know what I mean? Like, there's the love and the care and the compassion, but she can also, you know, give you a bop on the nose if you need it sometimes. You know what I think you should do, G?
Hmm.
What would be a great job for you?
Hmm.
Game show host. I would love to see you, like, host the Wheel of Fortune. It's a great schedule. You got, like, the format is down solid. Really, all you got to do is engage with people and keep things fun. Like, it's all that stuff you're really, I think, naturally good at. Let's see G on Wheel of Fortune or Family Feud or something, you know? Like a good, fun game.
Can I be honest and say something that I probably shouldn't say, and I hope my bosses don't fire me? Can I do Family Feud and be old school Richard Dawson?
No. No. Can't Richard Dawson anymore. Not allowed. Also germs.
If anybody does not understand that reference, then look it up.
Yeah.
But if you do, that was either funny or cringy. I don't know which one it was. Coming up next, your text, your feedback, and then it's Ursula's words to live by. And you know doggone well Ursula ain't here, so I need your help. G and Ursula with Mace. It is the G and Ursula show. I got to tell you, I'm gonna say something that Chef's been thinking. He's never said this in almost 2 years we've been doing the show. When Ursula's away, Chef and I do less work.
Is that true? You coast? The mom's out of town?
That's half true.
and when he says half true, it means half true on my end.
Yeah, that's your half. Yeah,
yes, my half. Uh-huh. All right, it's time to get to the text. Mace, you want to start us off, brother?
Yeah, I'd love to. We were talking about religious exemptions, you know, for medical stuff, and we have to issue a correction, and this is my fault. I misspoke. 253, Seventh-day Adventists do believe in medical intervention. There are numerous SDA hospitals in the country, and Loma Linda University is an SDA university and a world-class medical school. I believe you are thinking of Christian Scientists who do not believe in medical intervention.
Jana in Edmond says, I happen to be fourth-generation Seventh-day Adventist with many nurses in my family, including both of my grandparents who graduated in about 1920.
Yeah, and then I think we really missed the boat on this one. We were talking about the Washington State Patrol having now a 93% vaccination rate, which is about double what it was a month ago. And Stephanie in Bothell reminds us, Trooper Eric Gunderson just died of COVID-19 in the line of duty. Are you surprised the State Patrol has such a high vaccination rate?
Yeah, very good point, Stephanie. Mm-hmm. Amazon doesn't think of Seattle's as HQ1 anymore. 425 says, OMG, G, if your job doesn't pay you enough, you haven't done a good job acquiring skills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about those CNAs that take care of our loved ones? How about their skill? Yeah, they get low paid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead, Chef.
Nick, you hit it right on the nose, G. I feel like these tech companies are just importing people to make twice as much money as I could make. I lived in Burien my whole life, aside from a few deployments, until I got priced out a few years ago.
I just want to say that every time I hear about people getting priced out,
yeah,
it makes me sad.
Yeah. And this is someone who served our country. in the military.
Mike in Portland says, if you took the total value of all the companies run out of business by Amazon and subtracted out the number of jobs created by them, you come up with a net loss of jobs. There's a reason that one company is worth $1.6 trillion. Bottom line is Amazon has hurt our economy.
425, Detroit lost an industry and it did lower real estate prices. Same would happen here, the Detroit of the Northwest.
Mm-hmm. Scenarios. I thought my boyfriend was going to ask the question. Instead, he told me marriage is outdated and he wants to keep his options open. 206 says, if the boyfriend says he wants to keep his options open, believe him. If that doesn't work for you, really consider breaking up. I faced this 45 years ago, made the right decision to leave him, even though I loved him dearly. I have now been married to a wonderful man for 40 years.
253, monogamy is a thing of the past. Rather than sneak around and cheat on someone, keep an open and honest relationship. My girlfriend and I live together and love each other very much. We date outside of the relationship, but at the end of the day, we come home to each other.
That's something real. All right. We can't get to all of these texts. So, Mace,
so many
it
good
is
ones.
Time for Words to Live By, and you have the task right now.
Yes, today's Words to Live By come to us from the marvelous mouth of Michael Medved, who reminds us all to stop demonizing each other based on one of the principles of Judaism.
There's a basic principle called Don Lakoff Sefut, which means judge people to their benefit. That basically, if you possibly can, give someone the benefit of the doubt and don't look for their worst intention.
Yes.
Look at how they might be taking their position out of good intention.
Yes.
Always love that. Our Words to Live By brought to you by ProClub.com, a club like no other.
That was a great car horn sound, Chef. You also have a baby crying.
Oh, Lord, take me. I need the ambulance. Oh, help me. Help me. Help.
All right. Well, it was Friday.
Yeah, man.
Ursula was not here. And by the way, you guys, don't text Ursula. She's enjoying herself. Don't tell her that we said things like we don't do our work when she's gone. Because all she's going to do is be upset with us, okay?
Nobody likes a rat.
Yeah, snitches get stitches.
That's right.
Thank you, Mace. Appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, I love you, man.
Chef, appreciate you, sir. Andrew, thank you for everything you do on the board. It's been a great day. Talk to you guys on Monday. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. Be good.